Lift your hands and worship God in this place. We serve a wonderful God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that's all powerful. We serve a God that's everywhere. How can you lose? Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. God deserves all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is a good God. How awesome he is. Praise your holy name. This morning, I'm not going to pray by myself. Y'all going to pray with me. So I'm going to lead you, but you're going to pray with me this morning. Both hands in the air. Just repeat after me. God, thank you for the apostolic grace that rests on our apostle and rests on this house. And because it rests on this house, it rests on me. Holy Spirit, touch my mind, touch my eyes, touch my heart so I can see, hear, and understand what you will say to us this morning. God, we expect your glory to show up. I expect your glory to affect my life. Not only this morning, but throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, throughout the rest of my life. God, we are here for you. It's all about you. Holy Spirit, reveal those things to me that I hadn't seen, that I hadn't heard, that I haven't even dreamed about. God, I want to know your plans for my life. Holy Spirit, I trust you to reveal them to me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn me to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. We know how powerful God is. We talk about his power and his glory all the time. But I realize that we've been talking about the power of God as we're trying to compare it to something. Let me explain what I mean. We are talking about how powerful God is and how majestic he is. And in the back of our minds, we compare it to some other power. See, I want to show you this morning who you really are and why you can shift from faith to the anointing and walk into glory. Because see, we've been so long have been held back. We have been for so long have been made to depend on the fivefold for our answers. When James, the first chapter, the fifth verse, says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the fivefold. Oh. Let him ask of who? He give it to you liberally. But you got to ask in. All right, hold your finger in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And go to James 1, because I want you to read it. Some people have never read that scripture before. James 1. James 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, don't know what to do. That means for you to need wisdom, you got to be in a place that you don't know what to do. Am I right? If you in a place where you know what to do, so I have to be in a place that I'm destined to be in, but I can't handle it on my own. So therefore I have to go. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And watch this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That give it to the fivefold. What? Give it to all men how? Liberally. Y'all know what the word liberally means? No hesitation. Not holding nothing back from you. All the promises from God are for our yea and amen. And upbraided it not, mean he won't change. And it shall be given him. So you have to see yourself having the right, not only the right, but having the ability to, number one, hear the voice of God, hear his instructions, follow his instructions, have everything in your way that's trying to stop you from following instruction moved out of your way and walk into the glory. When you get into the glory, you ain't got to do nothing else. That's when God takes over. You're capable of that. It's possible for you to do this. Go to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. So back to what I was saying about how we talk about how powerful God is, but in the back of our mind, we compare it to some other power, like another power exists. We talk about the power of God and his majesty as if it has to be greater than somebody else. Come on, walk with me. Because I'm about to show you something. The Holy Spirit showed me this last week and asked me a question, and the question blew me away when we read this passage. Because I need you to see how powerless Satan is. Because see, a lot of times when you talk about how powerful God is, you're thinking God got to overpower the devil. So I'm not the one thought like that. So when I say he's all powerful, I'm thinking that there may be some other power, that he has to overpower. You're about to be helped this morning. Because see, we're going to see that sometimes we've been fighting the wrong person. You ain't supposed to be fighting the devil. Because why? Jesus made a not a closed show. He did it in front of everybody. Satan, watch this. Jesus said in Luke, I believe it's Luke Luke the 10th chapter. He had sent 70 disciples out, and they came back excited and saying, even the demons are subject to your name. Jesus said, I beheld. Not behold, I beheld. That means Jesus has seen it in the past. He had already seen Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Yes. Then he came back in Philippians and made an open show of him. So when we talk about God being all powerful, we're saying that God has all the power. We're not talking about he all powerful like he can overcome somebody or like he can overtake somebody. We're saying he got all the power. Now, can you imagine all the power available to you?
Yes, it is.
And guess what? It is available to you.
Yes.
All power available to you. Now, in order for you to understand what kind of power we're talking about, I got to eliminate this other fake power that we've been comparing his omnipotence to.
Right.
See, when the Bible talks about God is omnipotent, there is no other power. There is none. Satan ain't got no power. The only power that Satan has over you is the power you gave him. Are you seeing this? All right, so watch this. Now watch this. 1 Kings 18th chapter. Talking about Elijah. How many of you have read this story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal? How many of you have read this story? Whoever read the story, all right? This for me so I know teaching purposes. How many have never read this story? Don't have no clue what I'm talking about when I say the prophets of Baal. All right, let me give you the background. All right, King Ahab became king of Israel, king of the Jews. He was leading. And he went to another country, disobeyed God, went to another country, and married a woman from another culture named Jezebel. And he brought Jezebel back with him. And when Jezebel came with him, because he had went outside of God's covenant to find a woman, she brought back with him pagan gods. And so those pagan gods, she brought 450 prophets with her to begin to cause the children of Israel to begin to worship pagan gods instead of Jehovah. All right. So here we're going to start reading in the... in the 21st, well, let's read the 17th verse. I'm going to do a little reading. They got to do a lot of reading. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, King Ahab is talking to Elijah, the prophet, and saying, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Watch his answer. Watch Elijah's answer. And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all of Israel. Who Elijah asked for?
All of Israel.
That's everybody. We know it was at least 3 million people, because that's how many came out of Egypt. Now, this is a good time after Egypt. So between families being increased and so it's more people than 3 million. It's a lot of people. A whole nation. Bear with me, going somewhere. He said, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal prophets are 450 men. All right, Elijah setting something up. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, an animal to sacrifice. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God.
Yes.
Notice that God is, that G is capitalized in that place.
Yes.
And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Okay, we agree. We want to see what was about to happen. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock yourselves, dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, put no fire under it. And they took the bullock, the 450 prophets took the bullocks, took the animal, which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar, which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is God, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he's sleeping and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Other words, saying nothing happened. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near." Y'all come get close. Y'all need to see this. And all the people came near to him, and he replied, "The altar of the Lord that was broken down, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel be thy name. And with these stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. In other words, Elijah's got his sacrifice. Now, they're still there. Ain't nothing happening. Now, he's gone. Elijah's sitting up here. Elijah say, "Yo, get some water. Wet it up. Because y'all know good and well, anything that wet don't burn." Elijah started talking cash noise. He just wasn't, "I ain't about to just call fire to burn up. I'm gonna do a little extra so y'all know." Verse 34, and he said, "Do it." So they got 4 more barrels, made sure it was wet. And he did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, you is Jacob." But this time he said Israel because he wanted to get the ear of the people. Because remember who all watching now? The children. "Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." Verse 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Now watch what Elijah did. Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed them all. Now, as I was reading this story last week, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this was the perfect opportunity for Satan to equalize himself to God. Because he had all of God's people looking. He had everybody paying attention. The prophets of Baal began to call on their God, and nothing happened. So the Holy Spirit asked me, why did nothing happen? Because he couldn't. He couldn't make nothing happen. So everything that is happening in your life that is not in agreement with who God called you to be is the Satan taking your power from you and coming back and using it on you. This is why it's important that you have to go from faith to the anointing to the glory. This is why you have to hear the voice of God. You have to be able to do what God is asking you to do so that the anointing that is attached to the instructions can come and remove every burden and destroy every yoke so that you can do what God is asking you to do and then you can walk into his glory. And when you walk into God's glory, ain't nothing else for you to do. See, notice, notice who brought the fire down from heaven. I said that on purpose. Notice who brought the fire down from heaven. It was Elijah. How did Elijah bring down fire from heaven? He said, God, I need to show up to let the people know I did what you told me to do. So because he did what God told him to do, God had no other choice but to bring that fire down. Imagine your life when you do what God is asking you to do. God then obligates himself. He got to bring fire down in your life and burn up everything. Turn me to 1 Timothy 6. So now from now on, don't be talking about God as all powerful and in the back of your mind, you're like, he got to overpower some other power, because there is no other power. If there was any opportunity for Satan to equalize himself with God or make himself on the same level of God, that was the moment, because God's people was watching. He had opportunity. If Satan could, he'd have burnt up that altar for them prophets Baal. But he couldn't, because he ain't got no power. Satan has no power. No power. So now we 1 Timothy 6 and 10. Watch this. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 I want to go to. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. So now the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And watch what he's telling Timothy. He not even mentioned, in this passage of scripture, Satan not even mentioned. He says, fight the good fight. Fight the what? Good fight. Of what?
Faith.
What is that? What does that mean to fight the good fight of faith? That means you got to deal with you. And the reason why it's a good fight is because all you got to do is deal with you. You ain't got to be looking over your shoulder. You ain't got to be worried about no other enemies. If you had to be worried about enemies, why did the psalmist David say he will prepare a table? Where are you preparing it at? So it means you ain't got to worry about your enemies. Take your focus off of them. Take your focus off of everything else that's trying to deter you from hearing the voice of God and put your mind on what he wants. Fight the good fight of faith. What that means, if I'm going to be in a battle and I'm going to be fighting, I'm fighting to hear the voice of God. I'm getting rid of every distraction, everything. Go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. See, y'all fighting the wrong person. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That means fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of hearing the voice of God. The only fight you got to hear is keep yourself from being distracted. When you keep yourself from being distracted, then you can hear the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, you can do what God is asking you to do. When you do what God is asking you to do, you are kept giving yourself straight entry into the glory of God. Well, now you ain't got to do nothing else. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do shows up in your life. So Satan's only objective is to get you distracted. That's what he did Eve. That's what he did Adam and Eve. He distracted them with a lie. A lie is meant to get you off base. Cause he couldn't eat off the tree. He couldn't eat off the tree. Only Adam and Eve could eat off the tree. So all Satan did was take their power, went around the tree, and come back and presented their power back to them. Satan has no power. So I need you to stop giving him, stop giving him all that credit. Stop giving it to him. Because if something is not going right in my life, I got to do some self-reflecting. Watch this. Don't get on no guilt trip with me. I'm talking about self-reflection. That means going on the inside and saying, God, what is this? If any man lack wisdom. So I'm going in. Once again, it ain't about whether you cause it or not. You in the situation. It's a burden and a yoke to you. You need the anointing to come in to remove it. So at this point, we're not discussing who started it. We don't need to talk about that, who started it. We don't need to discuss that, because at this point, it don't matter. It's another distraction. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Because once you win the good fight of faith, another reason why it's good is because if you lose, that's on you. I prayed that prayer on purpose about the apostolic grace falling on us. You know what I was really saying? Let the apostolic responsibility fall on me. Now watch this now. When apostolic grace rests on you, you become more powerful. Why? Because you ain't got, there's nobody else to blame. Because if I place blame on somebody else about the issues going on in my life, then I've just given them the power to change it. But if I realize that I have to fight the good fight of faith, all that simply means is I have to, and the Bible says the just shall live by faith, right? Yeah. Right? Then the Bible says, for there in the rights of God, the just shall live by faith. And you're supposed to go from faith to faith, right? Yeah. That means you're going from hearing God's voice to hearing God's voice to hearing God's voice to hearing God's voice. Because if I can hear God's voice and I do what God is asking me to do, I've just push my way into the glory. You ain't got, watch this. You ain't got to ask for the glory. When you do what God is asking you to do, the glory is on the way. Let me thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me say like this. When you do what God asks you to do, the glory is manifesting. The glory is already there. But it's manifesting. Yeah. All faith does is give God permission to shift from the supernatural and come in the natural. That's what faith does. Faith gives God the right to come out the supernatural and show up in the natural. That's what faith does. And so that's why Satan is always trying to stop you from doing what God has asked you to do. That's why the pastoral model of the church has gotten us to focus just on us and our issues, not on God and what he wants. Because if Satan stop us from doing what God wants, he ain't got to worry about the glory. The glory going to sit on the inside of us, unused and untapped. So now that we're shifting from this pastoral model to this apostolic model, it's now causing you to grow up and mature and to be responsible for your ability to hear God. Is this making sense? So it says, fight the good fight of faith. Right? In James. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm sorry, not James. 1 Timothy 6. Fight the good fight of faith. I got something else I wanted to show you. Let me get back to it. Verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life simply means get used to this way of living. See, eternal life simply means this is going to be happening. You're going to be able to walk like this forever. What do I mean walk like this forever? Faith, the anointing, and glory. Fight the good fight of faith so you get used to living like that. Because once you, it says fight the good fight of faith, right? So, thank you, Holy Spirit. So fighting the good fight of faith means that you really ain't going to be battling but one time with yourself. So if you got to keep battling with yourself, Almatrea, this is why I got to die. Yeah. So I don't have to keep battling myself. Yeah. This is why I have to die, so I don't have to keep battling myself. So now I can, watch this. So now I have to be concerned by going from faith to faith, because when I die, I'll be going from glory. See, fighting this good fight of faith. It said fight the good fight of faith. It didn't say fight the good fights. It's one fight. It's one fight. And the fight is, are you willing to die? Once you die, once you surrender and say, God, I don't want to do it my way no more. God, every time you talk to me, I'm endeavor to hear you and do it. Every time you call for me, I'm going to say, Lord, here am I. What would thou have me to do? God, every time you call my name, I'm going to answer up. I'm going to yield to your will. You just put yourself in a category of going from glory to glory. It's one fight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me that. It ain't, because see, we thinking, because every issue we got come up is another fight. We think it's another fight. Every issue we think is another fight. So in our mind, we read that scripture, we're thinking about fights. Yeah. Plural. Right. Yeah. But it's one fight. Yeah. One fight. Let me see. Watch this. It's one fight with ourselves. Right. We got to die. Right. And Satan is powerless. Yeah. Let that sink in. Because I'm trying to show you how powerful you are. I'm trying to show you how powerful you are. It's one fight with yourself, and Satan is powerless. And the pastoral model has been caused us to focus on our issues. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to Mark the fourth chapter. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. See, this is why the grace that rests on our apostle, we have to let it affect our lives. Because an apostle structures heaven, earth, government. That's so things can be in order. Not just order in the natural, but divine order. Right? Divine order. Structures heaven, earth, government, so that the portals of the supernatural are open. So all those who are connected. Connected simply means I got the same agenda as apostle. I got the same thing on my mind that he has on his mind. So that all that are connected can enter in. All right? So now, so because I can enter in, that means I can operate in the same power. The same ability. Because I'm connected, my mind is on God's agenda. And the purpose of the fivefold is to help unfold God's agenda. Because there's some things on inside of you that the fivefold is going to stir up on inside of you that will never be stirred up if you're not connected. People think, and we're going to get to Mark the fourth chapter. People think, and the pastoral model got us thinking when the Apostle Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that's within you, that was put into you by the laying on of my hands. The pastoral model got us thinking laying on of hands and putting the hands on them and they fall out. That ain't what they're talking about. When you say by the putting on my hands, he said, Timothy, because you let me shape you, because you let me mold you, there's a gift on inside of you that you don't realize on inside of you, but I need you to stir it up because allowing me to shape you and mold you allows that gift to come out. Oh, let me help you. See, some of y'all think it's going to be by apostle laying hands on you. But if you ain't connected, he can lay hands on you and all's going to happen is your skin going to get rubbed off. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, God had told Moses, Jethro told Moses, you're going to kill yourself. I need you to get some help. So God told Moses, I need you to get 70. I want you to get 70 elders. Bring them into the midst of the temple. And I'm going to take the spirit that is on you and put it on them. Right. Now, hold on. I want you to see something. So Moses did what God said. When they all got in the center of the temple, the Bible said the spirit of God came down, took the spirit that was on Moses and put it on them. But then if you read a little further, they had two people, one called me dad, other called Eldad, that wasn't amongst the 70. They were amongst the crowd. And the Bible says God took the spirit on Moses and put it on them. And they started prophesying like the 70. They wasn't in the vicinity. But they was connected to God's agenda. God knew their heart. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. This is why God told Joshua, do what I told Moses to do. He said, this book of the law, this, T-I-T-H-I-S. Not, watch this. It's being specific. This book of the law. What book of the law? The book of the law I gave Moses. Yes. Don't let it depart of your mouth. Meditate it day and night. Then you do everything I tell you to do in there. Then thou shalt have good success and all your way going to be prosperous, right? If Joshua had not meditated, he'd have never seen the walls of Jericho falling. This is why I ask. Or you're going back and listen to camp meeting. See, that's just not to give up views on LeroyThompson.tv. There's some things that God will speak to you a second time listening that you didn't hear the first time. Not that he ain't say it, you just didn't hear it. There's some things on the inside of you. Why do we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us that we had not seen, we had not heard, and we had not dreamed if we don't think it's possible? There's some things on inside of you that you ain't never heard of. Some things on inside of you that you've never seen before. Some things on inside of you that you've never dreamed before, but it's still on inside of you, and somebody got to reach down there and pull it out. Yes, and that's why Apostle stirs us up. They got some levels in the supernatural that's waiting on you. Yeah. Be seated. Mark the fourth chapter. Mark the fourth chapter. Mark the 4th chapter, verse 3. Jesus talking. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on good, on stony grounds where they had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Then some fell on among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Then Jesus said something in verse 9, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus went on further. I'm going to skip down to verse 14 because he can explain what he meant. He said, the sower sowed the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now watch this. That's Satan coming to get your power. Because if you read this correctly, that's all he did to Adam and Eve. God had talked to Adam and Eve and told them, you can't eat off this tree. What Satan did? Satan came and stole that word. You mean it? So watch this. So when I fight the good fight of faith, that's me not allowing Satan to steal that word. That's me not allowing Satan to steal my instructions. That's me not letting Satan poke me out from not doing what God... That's the fight. Your fight is not against Satan. Satan wants to come steal God's instructions so you can't get access to the anointing. If you don't get access to the anointing, ain't no burden going to be removed. Ain't no yoke going to be destroyed. You're going to be stuck in the same spot. Don't let Satan steal your instructions. Watch this. Now it goes further and says how Satan will continue to try to steal it. Watch this. He said, and these are they which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That's emotions. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction comes. So wait a minute. So that means Jesus, in his own words, saying, yes, there are going to be some yokes. There are going to be some burdens. He said, because when affliction comes, that means Jesus realized affliction is coming. So don't be alone when affliction shows up, because you're not fighting the affliction. If your child start acting up, don't fight them. That ain't what that's for. That's a distraction. Oh. Afterwards, when verse 17, affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. What do you mean they're offended? They was excited about the word. They got the word. They got instruction. They were excited. They even started doing the word. They even started following God's instructions. But when they didn't see no immediate results. Didn't the Bible say, let us run this race with patience? They don't see no immediate results. Then they get mad at God. That's offended. Verse 18, of these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitful of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruit. Distractions. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? See, distractions. Satan is just all he's doing. See, you got to understand. You got to learn how to control your emotions. When something show up in your life that ain't supposed to be there, settle down. Say, God, what's going on? What is this? This ain't supposed to be happening. Tell me what to do. Amen. Didn't we read earlier, if any man lack wisdom... You can't, what it says, asking what? Asking faith. Meaning you got to, you have, when you ask, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you ask in faith, that means you have already have got to have won. You should have already won the good fight.
Come on now.
Because this time you're not panicked. You're not alarmed. You may have to move a little fast, but you're moving fast in faith. You're not allowing Satan to play with your mind. Now here's where you want to be. And these are they which are sown on good ground. That means the fight has already been this good fight. That one good fight. So no matter what shows up in my life, I've already won. No matter what shows up in my life, I know God gonna give me instructions on what to do. Come on now, come with me now, come with me. He prepares a table in the presence of your enemies. God is already expecting to give you an answer in front of your enemies. Because God knows, based on his system, he got to get you to start off in faith.
Come on now.
Then when you start off in faith, you follow his instructions, then he knows the anointing can come and remove every burden and destroy every yoke. So you can finish doing what God has called you to do. When you finish and complete what God has called you to do, then the glory is manifested.
Right.
The Bible says in Hebrews 10, you have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God. All that's saying is, when you walk in faith, the anointing gonna show up, and then you're gonna be able to walk in the glory.
Yes,
see, we read these miracles, and we read it and don't realize that process is happening all the time. The one with the issue of blood, she triggered that. She triggered that. What she said, if I may say within myself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Because they had other people that wasn't in faith, that were touching Jesus. They still fighting the fight. But she had won the good fight of faith. She said within herself. Now, who gonna give her that idea? She followed instructions. When Jesus spit the ground, took the mud and put. Jesus gave him an opportunity to follow instructions. He initiated the glory coming, the blind man, by going to the pool and washing. In John, the second chapter, they ran out of wine. Ran out of wine. Their name's not even the Bible, but you know who initiated that? The ones that fill a barrel. If they don't fill a barrel, if she don't touch the hem of the garment, if he don't go to the pool and wash, see, y'all undercutting yourself. You undercutting your abilities. Watch this, you're undercutting your God-given abilities. I have a right to hear the voice of God. I have a right to do what God asked me to do, and I got a right to bring the glory in my life. Turn me to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and I'm closing here. Teach you a quick lesson on hearing the voice of God, because it's important. Because without being able to hear the voice of God, you ain't going to walk in faith. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pastoral might have got you thinking about the Bible. And Romans 10:17 ain't talking about the Bible. Because word there is rhema. When you look up the Greek, rhema means a live, spoken word of God. Logos means written word of God. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing what God is telling you to do. So it's important that you're able to hear the voice of God. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Real quick, Matthew 16th chapter. And I'm not going to be doing this justice, but I can at least get you started. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Let me get there. Matthew 16 chapter. Verse 13. Jesus coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Yeah. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter the rock, this process. Now, what process we just saw happen? The process of we've been asked a question, faced with a situation, and God revealing to us the answer. And we walk it out. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He goes, Jesus started going further. He started further explaining the process. The process is, and I will give you the instructions to the kingdom of heaven. I will give you how the kingdom of heaven works. He didn't say, I'm taking you to heaven. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of how heaven works. Yes. Watch this. I'm going to give you the keys of how heaven works, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the anointing. Yes. Yeah. See, what happens is we've been trying to bind stuff for which we don't have keys. Because we've been getting the logos trying to bind stuff. When it's Rhema that binds stuff. It's what God is saying to you at that moment. Jesus says, search the scriptures. That he said, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of him, but you won't come to me. Romans 12th chapter. I'm almost finished. Romans 12th chapter. See, hearing the voice of God consists of two things. First of all, making yourself available to the voice of God. The way you make yourself available to the voice of God is John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. My sheep means those that follow me, those that spend time with me. The reason why Jesus used sheep is because he was given an illustration of back then in the days when Jesus walked on earth that shepherds would sleep with the sheep 24/7 so that the sheep could learn the voice. So that when they went to a marketplace or a place crowded with noise or a place that had a lot of distractions, the shepherd would give a command and the sheep would hear it and follow because he'd been spending time with the shepherd and he would know the voice. So you got to make yourself open to the voice of God, right? That's one component of hearing the voice of God. You got to make yourself open. How you make yourself open? You spend time with him. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It's a command. It's a promise. It's not my sheep maybe hear my voice. If you spend time with his word, you're going to hear his voice. So that means you got to put in the work and spend time with his word. Matter of fact, let me say this. Every last one of y'all in here need to get a printed Bible. This is why we come in a generation where everything will be done digital and people will begin to try to erase the Bible. Trying to erase it so we can't have access to what God has canonized. So everybody here need to get you a written Bible, get you a copy of the Bible, get you a copy of a Bible that you got to flip the pages on, not scroll. That's what Apostle been trying to tell us. All right. Be seated. So you got to make yourself available to the voice of God. You make yourself available to the word of God by being present. What do I mean? Being present in the presence of God. I mean, I'm going to God on purpose just to spend time with him, not to ask him what he can do for me. Not to ask God, give me this. No. God, I'm just coming to spend time with you because you say you know the thoughts that you think toward my life. I don't know the thoughts. You know them, so let me reason with you. Isaiah 1:18, let me reason with you so I can understand these thoughts, right? So you got to make yourself present. You got to make yourself available to the voice of God. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time with the word, the logos, so that the logos get on the inside of you. Here's why. You go Romans 12. I'm almost finished. Romans 12. Watch this. Romans 12:2. Verify me in scripture, but I want you to see something. Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove or recognize what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You make yourself available to the voice of God, and then by spending time with God, you make yourself foolproof to the voice of God. What I mean by foolproof, because you hide the word of God in your heart, Satan can't come sneak no lie on you. Satan can't imitate the voice of God. Because if you hear something to do, you go back and check it against the word. Because the word is hidden in my heart. The question is, okay, I hear his voice. Is that God or is that not God? Go back to the word. Go back to the word. When you go back to the word, that means you make yourself available and God can talk to you some more. If you're unsure about what God is telling you to do, that means you hadn't stayed long enough. When you're sincere in trying to hear the voice of God, that's the beauty of apostle. That's the beauty of the fivefold. That's the beauty. The apostle will come in here and speak life to your situation, not knowing he's speaking life to your situation. And you say, that's my answer. That's what I need to do. Not because apostle was so anointed, because he is, but it's because you have been spending time with the word of God and made yourself available to recognize when God is talking. See, that word prove is recognize. Here's why you got to be able to recognize. Because you can't put God's voice in a box. Because if you put God's voice in a box, you ain't control, he not. So you just robbed him of his omnipotence. So you got to be available for God to speak to you anytime, anywhere, through anybody. If God can talk through a jackass. See, some of y'all thought I cussed, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Go look it up. It's in the Bible. If God can speak through a jackass, he can speak through anybody or anything or any situation. But because you spend time with the word of God, to what? Renew your mind. Renew your mind simply means I'm agitating my thoughts with the word of God. I'm agitating my thoughts with the word of God so that my mind and my eyes are alert. To see where God is moving all around me. God can cause a stranger to walk up to you and have a general conversation and speak to that stranger and you say, God, that's my answer. It done happened to me before. You'll be going about your life and somebody just randomly start talking to you and just talking to you and all of a sudden they start saying something to you like, that makes sense. That's God talking to you. Listen. Samuel, Eli had trained Samuel so well till when God started talking to Samuel, Samuel thought it was Eli's voice. So he went to Eli. See, that's the point of fivefold. If you hear the voice of God, that's why you have to check on some things, especially if it's taking you out your comfort zone. That's the purpose of divine order. I'm a check. So he went and started talking to Eli. And the second time he came to Eli, Eli perceived it was the voice of God. He said, next time you hear that voice, say, Lord, here am I. What would thou have me to do? Samuel was a kid able to hear the voice of God. You have to put yourself in a position. Every last one of us have to put ourselves in a position that we can hear the voice. Because without hearing the voice of God, ain't no faith. Because faith is more than believing. Be seated. I'm closing this one. In Mark, the 9th chapter, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Out of that story, I love the next line. The man say, Lord, I believe. Do you know what Jesus did? Jesus answered him. What he was really saying is, Lord, I've done all I can do. I've followed instructions. Show me your glory. That's all the man was saying. Lord, I believe. I did. I'm here. I'm in your presence. Help my unbelief. And Jesus did something about it. Listen, Jesus is waiting to do something about your situation. He's waiting to manifest. He already died on the cross. He already put you in a position where you can boldly go into the throne of grace. All he's waiting for you to do is to follow instructions. And see, the issue is a lot of us, sometimes we wondering if God talking to us or not. But you got to get to a point, that good fight of faith, where you win that fight. You die. What do you mean by that? Die. I'm stop trying to figure this out on my own. God, in this situation, I'm not moving until you speak to me. And speak to me clearly. Notice I ain't asked for no sign. Speak to me clearly. Speak to me clearly. Well, I know it's you. God is not trying to avoid talking to you. If you understand what I'm saying, God is not trying to make it hard to talk to you. He want to make it easy as possible. We the one make it hard. We make it hard when we don't spend time with him. How can you learn the voice of God if I can picture a tail voice out of 1,000 voices, no matter where we at? Matter of fact, she ain't even got to be the same place as me. Somebody can come to me with a message. Hey, Chantel said she's not going to be home tonight. She's going to the club. The devil is a lie. I know that ain't you, because that ain't her. I've been with her. She ain't doing no stuff like that. So I can determine, because I spent time with her, I know what she's capable of doing and what she's not capable of doing. It's the same thing with God. When you spend time with God, you can easily tell if it's God or if it's the devil trying to trick you or the devil trying to distract you. It's funny, but it's truth. The more you spend time with God, the better you can hear his voice. Give God a hand clap of praise.